Now with the best of Montana Talks.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, what a great way to kick off our coverage here in the 8 o'clock hour from the 106th Annual Montana Farm Bureau Convention and Trade Show. Our good friend Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network, of course, in the house. Russell, always great to see you, my friend.
Hey, Aaron. It's great to be part of the show this morning and great to be over here in Western Montana celebrating, embracing, advocating for Montana's number one industry, agriculture.
What's standing out to you so far here, just because you're set up for the whole convention? I popped in for this morning, but you're here the whole time.
Yeah, I got over here Tuesday afternoon and kind of got settled in. And, you know, there's just overall, you know, some pretty decent enthusiasm really out in farm country. I mean, the political climate here in Montana, in Washington, D.C., is, for the most part, pretty favorable for agriculture. We have a little bit of some challenges, I guess, in the commodity sector for farmers. But, man, for the livestock producers, the cattle industry, the cattle rancher more specifically, record high markets. It's been quite a year, to say the least, for ranchers here in Big Sky Country.
It's always good to have good news because, you know, it seems like whenever you're talking to farmers and ranchers, I mean, they're managing so many different things. They're managing the land, they're managing commodities, and then they got everyday life things going on like the rest of us. But so you're either getting too much rain or you're not getting enough rain. But, yeah, I was talking with Casey Mott, the VP of the Farm Bureau, about an hour ago. I caught up with Gene Curry out of Valier, and they're both cattle ranchers, and so they've been very happy. They both said, hey, we ended up getting a great amount of moisture this year, high cattle prices, so they got fat calves and high prices.
That means Christmas is going to be really, really good. No, this cattle market, Aaron, I mean, gosh, I've been involved with it my whole life, you know. I mean, and just this week in Billings at J&L Livestock's Montana Female Bonanza Sale there at Public Auction Yards, nearly 4,000 head of bred heifers and young bred cows. I mean, averaging close to $5,000 a piece. You know, you think about that. Had some bred heifers down in Torrington, Wyoming this week bring, you know, 5,500. To put that in perspective, you know, when I was getting ready to graduate high school in the early 90s out of Chinook, Montana, we used to market a fair amount of commercial bred heifers, black and black baldy commercial heifers out of our ranch. And it was a huge payday back in those days to get $1,500. And you think about it now, fast forward 30 plus years, and we're getting, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. I mean, it's pretty incredible. But, you know, if you take inflationary aspects into it, it's probably exactly where it needs to be.
I was going to say, yeah, those high prices are good. Those high prices are great. But then the question is, how do you rebuild cattle herds when the temptation to sell is so easily there? And then, yeah, I mean, that was one of the points Gene Curry made, was he said, okay, I used to be able to sell, you know, this many calves 20, 30 years ago to buy a pickup. Now I got to sell that many more calves to buy a pickup in today's day and age. So that that price of inflation, that's why you were so spot on with saying, hey, maybe the price is right where it should be. All right, hold that thought. Quick break. So great to catch up with Russell Nimitz. He's going to stick around for a few more minutes. Stand by. Montana Talks live from the Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. They'll see areas of snow across the region today. Still some mixing with rain early on. Otherwise, temperatures will stay steady or falling back through the 20s as we head further through the day. Accumulations generally ranging from 2 to up to 4 inches around the area by tonight. For tonight, light snow lingers early, especially in Billings, with lows in the single digits to around 10 above. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Car and SUV. You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Great to have our friend Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network. Of course, he's here in the house at the 106th Annual Montana Farm Bureau Convention. Russell, a lot of our listeners, of course, get the chance to hear your ag reports every single day. I always make sure I'm keeping my ear listening to. Even though it's a break for me, I try to turn on the app so I can listen to it while I go down and get a cup of coffee because it's such important information. What are you compiling while you're here? Who are you talking to and what's standing out to you? Because you cover this stuff day in and day out.
Well, I think it's important, obviously, like you do. I mean, we visit with the leaders of these different associations. In this case, Montana Farm Bureau, the Casey Motts of the world, the Cindy Johnsons, who are, you know, Cindy is the president of Montana Farm Bureau, and her husband, Ken, farm up in the Golden Triangle in that Conrad country. So we definitely visit with the, you know, the meat and potatoes of the association, so to speak. But then it's also good just to, you know, just see the other members, you know, that maybe don't necessarily have a leadership role yet, but get to have some one-on-one conversations over a Diet Coke or an adult beverage later in the day, you know, and just hear from those men and women who are, you know, on ground zero in farm and ranch country. And you know, because we get caught up in these headlines, you know, what's happening out of Helena, what's happening out of Washington, D.C. But, you know, these are the guys that, you know, have to figure out how to either make it, absorb it, and still power on to continue to feed America and the rest of the world.
Always good to go get that ground truth from the soldiers on the ground, from the ground level, whether it's in the military or covering farm and ranch news. It's so great that you're doing that. So you kicked off with just the incredible positive news for our cattle producers. Farmers are obviously struggling with prices and then the input costs and everything else. We didn't get into it too in depth, but I am pleased to hear from the American Farm Bureau that they do believe that there is going to be more of a focus on a short-term relief package for our farmers in the midst of these trade wars and things like that, because food security is national security, and we can't allow any of these farms to go under while we fight to get better trade deals in the process.
Yeah, that's right, Aaron. I mean, and I mentioned it before, you know, I mean, we do have a pretty favorable political climate. So there's always going to be differences, you know, in farm country, you know, and that's what that's still what makes America great. But while we talk about record high prices for the ranchers out there, it's been pretty bleak for the commodity farmer out there, whether we're talking about wheat, barley, corn, soybeans. You know, some of it's tied with the lack of export markets that we don't have. But, you know, some of it's just been tied to, you know, overproduction in other commodity producing countries around the world. And then here at home, you know, a lot of Montana, a lot of wheat country has just been decimated by drought these past few years. And I guess what's kind of frustrating to a lot of farmers and farmer members of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation that I've heard from here at this convention is, you know, we've been running on an old business plan in farm country. We've been running on the 2018 Farm Bill. And it's really hard to operate in 2025 as we move into 2026 on a business plan that's soon to be 8 years old. A lot of things have changed, Aaron, in 8 years. I mean, we kind of joked about it earlier, but I mean, think about the price of diesel or gas. I mean, where it was 8 years ago, where it is now, where the price of a new pickup was 8 years ago, where it is now, where the price of a new tractor or combine or whatever it might be. And so, you know, these leaders here at the Montana Farm Bureau, along with the American Farm Bureau, are really going to press, you know, Montana's congressional delegation and other farm state members of Congress and the rest of Washington, D.C., you know, to get a new farm bill passed in 2026 and quit extending this old version so that we can properly operate and do what we need to do out here in ag country.
You do a great job of delivering the meat and potatoes for the farmer rancher listeners, but I also like the way you can break it down for the listeners in town that maybe aren't as familiar with, you know, the commodities markets and things like that. And Nicole Rolfe, I like the way she summed up. She's government affairs for Montana Farm Bureau. She summed up the significance of the Farm Bill. She said it's the only safety net for farmers. That's the quick summary she gave of it. It's going to be a very busy end of the year with a lot of stuff to watch potentially on that front. You know, a safety net package, farm bill, another funding package before the end of January. You opened up the show this morning by talking about the cattle markets. What are some of the numbers that are standing out to you, or just in general about the grain markets in particular, some of the other, you know, farmer side of the house?
Well, you think about cattle markets. I mean, whether we're talking about $4 or $5 calves for a 500-600 pound steer, you know, those are up significantly versus just a year ago or versus 5 years ago. I mean, but one thing that has remained constant really since the 1970s has been the price of wheat, corn, and soybeans. You know, the price of wheat when we were born in the early 1970s was exactly where it is right today as we know it. And the same thing for corn, you know, and it's just, you sometimes wonder how these farmers are doing what they're doing out there and powering through and not just feeding this country, but feeding the world and on prices that have pretty much remained constant for the past 50 some years, you know, while everything else has gone up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And hey, farmers and ranchers are truly the last people to reach out their hand and ask for help. But in the case of farming, you know, that's why a new farm bill, that's why having crop insurance within a new farm bill and other risk management tools like ARC and PLC and some of those other key programs within that commodity title, Aaron, are so important because when the prices are where they're at now or a thunderstorm.
We lose this farmland or ranch, we may never get it back again. And it totally changes our Montana way of life. Russell Nimitz, thanks for all you do. The Western Ag Network, great to see you here, my friend. Come back in the 9 o'clock hour if you want to.
We'll see.
All right.
History play. If there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag. With Lane Nordland.
The American Farm Bureau Federation has announced the next recipient of an award that recognizes veterans or service members for excelling in farming or agriculture that positively impacts local communities. Retired Army Commander Sergeant Major Matthew Rutter of South Carolina is the second recipient of the Veteran Farmer Award of Excellence presented by the American Farm Bureau Federation with support from Farm Credit. Rutter served 22 years in the Army, where his service included leading intelligence operations across Europe and the Middle East. For more information on how you can nominate a veteran or service member that is in agriculture, visit the American Farm Bureau online. USDA continues to hit milestones in their fight against New World screwworm. They've opened a sterile fly dispersal facility in Tampico, Mexico. The facility will allow USDA to disperse sterile flies aerially across northeastern Mexico, including Nuevo León. USDA produces sterile flies for the dispersal at the facility in Panama as well. USDA is investing $21 million to support Mexico's renovation of existing fruit fly facilities as well, which will double New World screwworm production capacity once complete. With ongoing support from USDA APHIS technical experts, Mexico anticipates the sterile fly production to begin as soon as the summer of 2026 to keep the fly from entering the U.S. I'm Lane Nordland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
All right, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks, broadcasting live from the 106th annual, think about 106 years. That's a long time, but then again, it's not a long time either. But yeah, 106th annual Montana Farm Bureau Convention and Trade Show. I've gotten a chance to catch up with a whole bunch of folks. I recorded some interviews earlier in the morning that I'll share with you later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well, because you know, hey, we're live, here right now, and then, of course, on into the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. But oftentimes, that's when the convention is well underway, so a lot of the keynote speakers are tied up inside the convention hall. So that's why I like to get here early and interview as many folks as we can earlier in the morning. So a lot of coverage coming for you here from Farm Bureau. We'll take a quick pause from our Montana Farm Bureau conversation here. It's always great to catch up with Dr. Dale Williams from Billings Last Diet. We've also got Dr. Jordan on the phone lines with us as well. Dr. Dale Williams, great to have you back on the show. I know you got to enjoy a well-earned vacation for a few days, but Jordan did a fine job filling in for you.
He covers well for me, and I did enjoy a little bit of a break, but glad to be back.
One of the things we talked about with Dr. Jordan, I think, while you were out, there was big news on the GLP-1 front, big news on these, you know, these shots, these injections, I don't know, you know, people know Ozempic and then there's other GLP-1s, but essentially the Trump administration made some big news where they brokered a deal to make these GLP-1s more affordable for everyday American people. And anyway, that was big news while you were out. What was your reaction as you saw that news break?
Well, I've had a bit of mixed reactions. There is no doubt that those GLP-1s are helping people lose weight and helping them overcome some of the serious side effects of obesity, including cardiovascular disease and inflammatory responses. But the other thing, the other side of that is it's setting up people for a lifetime use of a medication. And so as Dr. Jordan and I and the diet coaches and Ideal Protein in general have been talking about these, we've recognized that these GLP-1s are going to be beneficial to some in some regard. But is there a way that we can help people that have been on GLP-1s or that are using GLP-1s develop a lifestyle where they won't have to stay on those GLP-1s forever? And, or if they're not able to tolerate the GLP-1 side effects, which are known, is there another way for them to get the same result? And the answer is yes. It's the Ideal Protein protocol that we utilize at Billings Last Diet. We can help them with a transition off of GLP-1s or a lifestyle adjustment to where they can develop a lifestyle where they can maintain a weight loss without having to use this medication for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's a great
point. So I see both sides.
That's a great point. Not only can you help people through it if they're using these types of weight loss injections, because there are significant downsides if you don't know what you're doing going into it, but then you can help them after, because I would think even people who choose to go the GLP-1 route, you know, do you really want to be giving yourself a shot, an injection for the rest of your life? No, you're hoping that this can help you shed the weight and then you can figure out a new lifestyle moving forward. But that's really the two key downfalls. Yeah, Dr. Jordan with Billings Last Diet on the phone lines with us as well. Talk a little bit more about the challenges that people would face if they're using GLP-1s and not backing it up with a nutritional program like you and your coaches offer at Billings Last Diet.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dr. Williams touched on it a little bit. Some of the known side effects are pretty severe. Some of the minor ones are just nausea or just not feeling well, not being able to withstand some of those kind of big swings in nausea. But we have some that will have kind of long-term paresis of the intestine, which means you can't fully digest food, severe constipation, other things like that. So some of those side effects really do cause long-term effects. The problem is we still don't know long-term is a relative term, right? So we don't know 10, 15, 20 years down the line how long some of these side effects are going to last. However, with Billings Last Diet, we've been around over 15 years now, and it's a natural weight loss program through Ideal Protein, which has been around over 20 years. And so we know that the long-term result is you keep the weight off and you have a lifestyle change in a healthy way. As you lose weight with GLP-1, the ratio of fat loss to muscle loss is skewed to where you're typically losing more muscle than you would generally use if you're just losing weight naturally. And then that muscle loss leads to a lot of other issues. If you're older, generation, you start to have balance problems because of muscle loss in the legs. You start to have other issues. Fall risks increase as well. And so to help mitigate some of that, the ideal protein protocol we use at Billings Labs Diet is designed to maintain lean body mass. And that is huge. For kind of just general people, it doesn't quite hit, because you just think, well, I just want to lose pounds. I don't care if it's fat. I don't care if it's muscle. But the reality is, once you start to lose that lean body mass, that muscle, you will feel fatigued. You will feel weak. You won't have the strength to be able to do things you have done, which is part of the reason people want to lose weight, so they can do activities with their grandkids, with their kids. They can go on hikes. But if you're losing muscle along the way, you're not going to be able to do those things you want to do.
That's right.
So our goal at Billings Labs Diet is to help you lose the weight in a healthy way, to have long-term results and maintain that lean body mass. And as Dr. Williams mentioned, if you're already on a GLP-1, our protocol fits very well to help you manage that weight loss and then eventually come off of those medications so you're not stuck in a long-term relationship with a medication.
Yeah, I don't know if you put the shot, if you have to give yourself a shot in the stomach every day, or if that's how it works or not. That doesn't sound like something I'd want to have to do for the rest of my life, unless you absolutely had to for a medical reason, right? Dr. Williams, you know, it's thinking about on that point too, what I've heard about these GLP-1s is okay, the benefit for folks that are struggling, if other, you know, things don't seem to work for them, is it lowers your appetite. Okay, well, that could be a good thing, but if you're still eating bad foods and if you're still not eating the right foods, if you're not getting that Montana beef, you're not getting that ideal protein, you're not getting your vegetables in, well, now you're starving your body of nutrition that it needs, and you're destroying your bones, you're destroying your body, you're damaging your organs potentially. That's where it can cause a lot of complications, and who knows about the long term. On the flip side, though, let's talk about kind of a positive angle here. Dr. Dale Williams, you do this Eating for the Holidays class, and it's a ton of fun. There's some good food samples at this Eating for the Holidays class as well. What I love about it is, even if folks have already lost the weight, they went through your program, they've lost the weight, but they don't want to pile on a bunch of pounds over the holidays, this helps your existing dieters, and it helps, you know, previous dieters who just don't want to pile on a bunch of pounds during Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up.
We are so excited about the Eating for the Holidays class, because it's another packet of information that can help you succeed. So we've been, from the beginning of Billings Last Diet, our goal has been education of people to where they can learn how their body works and make it work to their advantage. Well, the Eating for the Holidays is just an extension of that. Just to backtrack just a little bit on the GLP-1 users, I have been asking those who have been using GLP-1. So what was the advice you received from the doctors? What was the education on lifestyle change you received from your doctors? What's the plan to get off the medication with your doctor? And 100% of the time is, we haven't talked about that. And so that education portion is critical. And if you want to lose weight and keep it off the rest of your life, you just have to learn how to eat appropriately, even during the holidays. And that's what our Eating for the Holidays class is. It's a lot of fun. We sample foods, holiday foods that you would never guess were healthy and are phase one compliant, which phase one is our weight loss phase. They're foods that you can eat during the weight loss phase that you would never put in a diet category of food because of the flavor, the texture, and it's a lot of fun. And we have an education side to that night, besides the food sampling, where we talk about how to not blow it over the holidays, how to not gain your 8 pounds over the last quarter of the year. So we invite anybody who's done the program before, is currently in, we'd love to see you at the Eating for the Holidays. And that's tomorrow night.
Yeah, that'll happen. So that's tomorrow night. Yeah, so for our listeners on KBUL in the Billings area, you can be there in person. But I would say for our remote dieters all across Montana, all across the country, for example, hey, when I last did my check-in with my Billings Last Diet coach, I did a video chat from Kalispell. And it was a great meeting. I had my scale there. I did my quick weigh-in on my own time, did my quick little 15-minute chat with my diet coach, and that's how I stay on track, is with my once-a-month.
Back now with the best of Montana Talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, hey, I was going to mix it up on some of the other big news of the day here for just a few minutes because we had a guest that was going to drop by, and I'm not seeing him at the moment, so maybe he'll pop over here in just a few minutes. So, yeah, I was going to start mixing it up on some of the news of the day. I got some audio that stood out on X on some of the big national news stories and more. But now we got another great guest who just popped in and is joining us on the microphones right now. In fact, earlier this morning, I was looking at the agenda here for the Montana Farm Bureau Convention and Trade Show, and I noticed that there was a whole panel discussion focused on agritourism in Montana, which is always a fun topic to cover. And then I noticed that there were a couple of Montana State University Extension folks that were a part of that conversation. And then that reminded me, man, I got to reach out to John Hawley with MSU Extension and say, hey, John, send your Extension folks our way, because whenever we travel out across the state of Montana, I'll tell you what, it's always great catching up with the Extension folks, especially when you're talking agriculture. But she's now with us here once again, Kim Woodring with Toole County Extension. Kim, great to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Aaron. Nice to see you too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The last time we saw you was in our Montana Talk studios. I forget what convention that was for.
That was the National Agriculture Extension Agents Association meeting, and I talked about agritourism there. So
That's
kind of my thing.
Yeah, we had like, golly, 1,000-plus people that were in Billings for that big, and it was the National Ag Extension Convention. Yeah, that's right. That was really cool.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there, and it was a good time. It was really great to showcase Montana off in that way.
Yeah, so we already talked agritourism, but we should talk about it again, especially if folks might have missed that conversation a while back, because it's fun to hear the way. Because really, it comes down to producer profitability. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out, okay, how do we make life more affordable? So if you have a spare room in the house, you're looking at it at maybe doing an Airbnb thing, right? Well, if you've got some spare room on your property, you're looking at, well, maybe I rent out part of my property to do a campsite, or all different fun things that people are doing for agritourism, and also to help make the bottom line a little more profitable so you can save the family farm or save the family ranch. Let's just start there before we get to the big topics of the day. Yeah, tell folks about some of the fun things you're seeing in agritourism in Montana.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. It can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be. It can be just clearing off space for a camper to pull up. There's something called astrotourism, which is stargazing, which could be huge during like the Northern Lights right now. But there's people doing all kinds of things. And like you said, you're up in Kalispell now, like with the orchards, like it's very broad, and it's a very broad state. So it's cool to see what everybody's doing.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, you know, who wouldn't want to camp by the lake in the summer? And then how cool would it be to, you know, camp at a cherry orchard and then pick your own cherries. There's a lot of fruit picking is a popular thing. That's one of the agritourism things, right?
Yeah, and like where I live on my way, like people stop on their way to Glacier so they could stop at our farm and have a little spot to camp and then keep going. It's pretty cool.
What, you said there was something funny that people were doing with goats. What was the thing with the goats? Do you remember that one?
Well, my friend in Townsend is she hosts this camp where they come and help her lamb her sheep out. So they're basically coming to her place and doing her work for her.
That's right. Yeah, lambing is a fun season, a fun time of year. Yeah. You know, most Montanans are familiar with calving and you know, maybe you've been to a branding or two, right? But lambing is such a cool thing to see the baby lambs and or the sheep shearing, you know. I don't know, maybe you might not want to turn over the shearing process to the tourists, but that could be an option, at least to be there for it.
Yeah.
You could experience the sheep shearing process.
And what's great about it is that they learn that it's not hurting the sheep, because people on the internet think that, oh, shearing is bad, it'll hurt the sheep. Like, no, it's just a haircut.
I was joking with one of the great Jay Bar Jay, you know, one of the great rodeo stock producers, and I said, man, I just want to bring my camper out to your ranch and see these horses in person. And he's like, oh, come on out. But how cool would that be to, you know, that again, like you're a rodeo stock provider or something, like people would love to just have their camper set up out there, stargazing, checking out the Northern Lights, and then getting to see these incredible horses firsthand as well.
Exactly. Like we said, it can be as simple or as complicated as you want it to be. Like you have a cabin in the like no service area, you could host like a writing retreat or something, and people just want to come and have that experience, that authentic Montana experience.
What did you have some crowd interaction during your panel presentation, or?
Yeah, we have some folks doing direct to consumer beef, and they're doing like a little farm stand out at their locations, so that's been kind of cool to hear from. I think that is a good way to go with all of the processor struggling issues and like the prices in the grocery stores. So I think that's cool to see that people are doing that. They're trying something anyway.
Yeah, as there's been so much attention on the high price of beef in the grocery stores, that's gotten a lot of national attention here recently. Well, it's because, yeah, we the consumers love beef. We can't get enough of especially Montana beef. And so, but that's been the response from people is, hey, if you're concerned about the high price of beef, try to buy direct. Buy direct from a local rancher. And so, you know, some people don't know how to do that or where to even start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just remember going to college and not knowing how to buy beef from the grocery store because they always just had it in the freezer. So I totally get the other way around. It's, I mean, you want to know where your food comes from, too. And if you know your local rancher, it's pretty easy to reach out and buy from them.
Do you remember, so now even the beef from the grocery store tastes good. If it's,
yeah, absolutely.
If it's, you know, U.S. beef,
etc. It's probably right? Pretty local anyway.
Yeah, mostly, right? Because it's hard to know where all it came from. It, you know, that's why a lot of folks are talking about the, you know, the need for, you know, country of origin labeling, etc., things like that. But for you, growing up as a ranch kid who always had your own beef in the freezer, you just, you know, grab something out of the freezer, thaw it out, you're good to go. Could you taste the difference when you had your first store-bought beef compared to growing up eating your own ranch beef?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in college, I was mixing it with Hamburger Helper, so it wasn't like it was as bad as it would be. But yeah, I mean, I think it's the feel of it. Like, you just feel better when you feel like you bought it from your local producer. So I don't know if it necessarily tastes better or not. And I wasn't a ranch kid, unfortunately. We have a farm, but we would trade for beef and, like, land for letting our neighbors have our cows.
Hey, that's a good trade right there.
Yeah, but... Yeah. We were always pretty well stocked.
So you took part in the ACE event here, and I heard that it's really interesting speakers, a part of the ACE session here. What stood out to you? What are some of the big topics, especially as an extension agent, that you're hearing on the ground here at the Farm Bureau Convention?
Yeah. So the ACE program is a year-long leadership program through Farm Bureau. It stands for Advocate, Communicate, and Educate. We have been going to sessions throughout the year to learn how to be better communicators through agriculture. And it's been fun to network with other young people throughout the state and learn about what they're doing with agriculture. And it's a really diverse group, so it's been fun to just get to know these people and get to know what Farm Bureau is all about through it.
So how would you describe the farm and ranch footprint? How would you describe agriculture in Toole County, where you're at, which is, of course, the Shelby area, compared to other parts of Montana?
Well, we're pretty dry, if you don't know. But it's mostly dryland crop, spring wheat. But like in Kalispell, where you go over there and there's the orchards, and it looks like a different country over there to me. Like, you guys get rain, so what's that like? But it is fun to see all of the different agriculture throughout the state and hear what everybody's got going on.
Yeah, a lot of rain this week. It's been kind of good to see because parts of western Montana really need the moisture right now as well.
Yeah, I don't think we've had rain since August.
Wow.
But we did have a good crop this year, so that was good.
Well, I know the cattle ranchers out there, most of the state are pretty happy, as Russell Nimitz told us at the top of the hour. But I was talking with Gene Curry, who's just south of you. But that shows you how you can be just a little south of somebody.
Yeah.
He's in Valier, which is not far from Shelby at all.
Yeah, and our farms are fairly close to his.
Yeah, and he got some good moisture this year. Mm-hmm. And so they've got fatter calves and high prices. And same thing for Casey Mott, who is the vice president for Farm Bureau, who ranches near Custer and Miles City. Mm-hmm. Same thing for him. And so they're feeling good about some things, but the farmers are still really struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't realize how big the state is until you visit with folks like that. Some parts of our area got good rains at good times, like us, for our farm, but others were really dry. It's tough.
Well, Kim Woodring, great to see you here, the Toole County Extension Agent. We got less than a minute to go. What do you want to tell folks across Montana that we didn't get to yet?
Well, thanks for visiting with me, Aaron. I would say if you are at all interested in the ACE program, you should look into applying. The application deadline is coming up soon. Just check out the Montana Farm Bureau page and get signed up. You will really enjoy it.
All right. Well, quick break here on Montana Talks. And then here in just the last few minutes of the hour, it's kind of a short last few minutes of the hour here. I'll get into some of the big news of the day. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, more coverage here from the 106th Annual Montana Farm Bureau Convention. Leadership of the organization, some of the national representatives that are in the house as well. That and more coming up here with Montana Talks live from Missoula. That's where the Farm Bureau Convention is underway right now as we speak.
Fox Sports Update.
A big triple helping of NFL football on Thanksgiving Day. Game one in Detroit goes to the visiting Green Bay Packers, 31-24 over the Lions. Green Bay's Jordan Love, a quarterback, 18-30, 234 yards and four TDs, two of them to Dontavian Wicks. Wicks also grabbing a big first down circus catch with less than 2 minutes to go to seal the win.
Love, looking around, pressure to stay throw.
Call on Fox. The Lions now falling to 7-5. Packers improving to 8-3-1 in that tight NFC North. Wild one in Dallas. That was game two. Fourth quarter, Kansas City. The Chiefs there leading the Cowboys 21-20 until...
Third and goal. Can they convert here? Prescott looking around in trouble. He flips it to Williams for the touchdown at the last moment. Javonte was open and waiting for it.
That call on CBS, Dak Prescott hitting Javonte Williams from 3 yards out. Dallas adding a two-point conversion and a field goal later on to make it 31-21. Kansas City scored late, but Dallas beats the Chiefs 31-28, keeping their faint playoff chances alive. The Cowboys now 6-5-1. Kansas City at 6-6. And capping it off with game three, Cincinnati's Joe Burrow back from a toe injury in a big way.
Pressure comes, picked up. Touchdown, Cincinnati.
On NBC, Joe Burrow throwing for 261 yards, two TDs, and a 32-14 win over the Ravens in Baltimore. I'm Paul Stevens.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Hey.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we got another guest who hopped on the microphone here at the Farm Bureau Convention, Brent Turner. And big thanks to Rebecca Colnar here with Farm Bureau for linking us up. Brent Turner, based out of Columbus, Montana. He's got Brent Turner Advisors. Brent, great to see you. Thanks for hopping up to the microphone here. You've got a book that you wrote as well.
Sir. Yeah. Yeah, it's Jim.
Well, to tell us... Well, first off, you know, you do basically kind of estate planning, family planning, and, you know, there's a lot of transition in agriculture right now, a lot of generational transitions, right. People looking to, you know, pass the family farm or ranch off to the next generation. So a lot of big decisions being made right now.
Exactly. And they're tough decisions. They're hard because they're humans.
And their family decisions.
Yes.
Do you sell to another farmer rancher? Do you sell to somebody else? Do you keep it in the family? And then you got kids potentially fighting over it. That's why you got to be having these conversations.
Absolutely. Aaron, I'm a farm kid from Tennessee and animal science major in college, and I have such an inborn fondness for agriculture that it's a time where these farms and ranches have had amazing appreciation in their real estate. Their net worths have increased, and the pressures on agriculture now are so deep. It's almost the barriers to entry are so difficult. So the transition for a family ranch or family farm, it makes a lot of sense. And I just do not want to see these farms and ranches go into something other than family farms and ranches.
That's great to hear. So that's great to hear. Because you can get a lot more money sometimes selling it to a wealthy out-of-stater that just wants hunting land or something else.
Sure.
But man,
we have to preserve these farms and ranches. It's just got to be done. So that's where I've put. I've been a financial planner for 35 years, and I've done all the training for transition planning, and so that's where my energy goes every single day, is to make sure these farms and ranches avoid the unnecessary wealth transfers that take place when you're transitioning a farmer. I like to view it as an enterprise rather than just a farm or a ranch, because it is an enterprise, and we should treat it like that. We should treat it as a business that's worth transferring. And we like to put together board of directors inside the family. We like to find out what the unique abilities are of all the family members and make sure they're in the right space. They're wearing the right hat.
Yeah.
So that they're...
This book that you wrote by Brent Turner, Piece of Land.
P-E-A-C-E.
Yeah. What every farm and ranch family needs to know about legacy, land, and letting go. We've only got under a couple of minutes left here this hour of the show, but what do you think is the most important thing that folks need to consider, need to be thinking about right now?
Everybody has a unique ability. And so what I see a lot of times, and what the book is about, it's about a rancher. It's a fictional story, but it's based upon true conversations that I have every day. And it's the story of a rancher that he's wearing a bunch of different hats. He's wearing the CEO hat. He's wearing the CFO hat. He's wearing the COO hat. He's doing all the marketing for his ranch, but he's got a wife there that he's never invited to the table to help with financial decisions. And after 40 years of listening to the conversations, she's very well equipped to help with the finances. And he's got a son that's been on the ranch all of his life and wants to stay on the ranch and wants to continue on. And he's never been invited to participate in the operations, the decisions. And then we find out in the process, after the main character, Tom Hartwell, has...
About guns with others might not always feel comfortable, but it could save a life. Here's a way to start a conversation. Your family is going over to your neighbor's home for dinner for the first time. How would you ask if there are any unlocked guns in the home?
Hey.
Hey, we're so excited for tonight. Before we come over, though, may I ask if there are any unlocked guns in your home?
Our guns are stored securely, locked in a safe that the kids can't access.
Awesome.
Learn how to have the conversation at agreetoagree.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.